now move to item 8, the enforcement report. Mr. Briggs.
Thank you. Again, standing item report on enforcement activities. So on the first blue page, it has the one notice of violation. And then below that, the expedited payment letters for mandatory minimum penalties. And I actually mentioned this at the last board meeting because they had just gone out, but timing-wise, we didn't have it in the enforcement report. So this is not a new batch. I had already mentioned these, and I had the dollar amounts at the time, but I no longer have that with me. But just a reminder, these are basically expanding on the effort that the Office of Enforcement used starting, what was it, about a year and a half ago, Harvey, as far as the statewide effort to catch up on the backlog of mandatory minimum penalties, which mostly existed in other regions, not ours. But they used the same kind of process of sending a letter saying, here's what our understanding of the penalties are. If you don't dispute it, the best bet is just to settle up for the minimum amount. And then it also advises them that there's an opportunity for supplemental environmental projects and provides a little information for that if they're interested in it. And I don't know if we've heard back from any of these people yet. Harvey?
This is Harvey Packard. We have heard from several, if I can remember off the top of my head, Lompoc, Santa Barbara, Conoco, have all agreed to pay, to waive their right to hearing and pay. San Luis Obispo was only one violation, and the city responded that the violation was not really a violation. It had to do with some sampling error, and we've removed that violation from CWIC. So that one should say withdrawn next to it. Avila should not say withdrawn. There's an error there. So we're working with Avila and Paso Robles on resolving those. We've met once with Avila as far as discussing the legitimacy of some of the violations, and those discussions are ongoing. Paso wants to do an SCP, so we're having discussions about that. And we did not hear from Men's Colony. So the next step for them will issue a complaint for liability.
What about Pasadena?
Pasadena is, there's a write-up in your agenda, and Pasadena doesn't have mandatory minimum penalties because it's not an NPDS facility.
That starts on page 4 of this report. Any questions on those expedited payment letters?
I'll provide a summary of those as they get finalized in this enforcement report.
Thanks. Okay, the next topic, still on page 1, it says permit requirements related to storms, flooding, spills, and maintenance, and points out that at the February meeting, the last board meeting, where the board asked about a lot of the what the issues were with some of the sewage spills that we had, mostly in December, I believe it was, because that was the wet month, and then January was dry. And so we said that we would provide information on the what we have in the permits as far as the discharger's responsibilities. And so we've Harvey Packard actually has excerpted various sources. So the first one is from the NPDS permits, and that goes on through page 2 and the first part of page 3. And that's the standard language that we have in there in terms of provisions regarding spills and preventative actions, safeguards with contingency plans, and that sort of thing. And then similarly, we've excerpted language from the waste discharge requirements. It starts in the middle of page 3 and goes on down to the bottom of page 4. There's another order, starts on page 4, is a source of requirements, which is the general sanitary sewer system order, which is the statewide order for collection systems. So that provides a kind of a snapshot of all the different provisions that apply to this issue. And, of course, we can't get into questions about specific potential violations or spills with individual dischargers because we don't know if those may come before the board for enforcement action. But this would be an opportunity to ask about any of these general provisions that we have and or if you have suggestions for improving them.
Dr. Wolf?
Yeah, I took a look at some of the definitions, and I realized that this is a summary, but it appears that, for example, in the operation and maintenance, in the maintenance side, some of the language perhaps could benefit from a little more specificity pertaining to some of the applicable standard that have to be applied. For example, other agencies such as FTC, FAA, USDA, and facilities for which they have regulatory oversight make cross-reference to applicable national standards. And as an example would be the ANSI, American National Standard Institute, and there are several standards without taking everybody's time that would be applicable to facilities like this. So I think it would enhance the document and provide a little more feedback when they have to make submittal of their maintenance activity by showing that some of their maintenance activities are in compliance with the applicable ANSI standards, for example. So perhaps down the road that's something that with the help of staff could enhance a little bit the document.
And Dr. Wolf called me about this and offered to come over and bring some of his references that he has available to assist with that. So I appreciate that. And
you're welcome.
We'll take you up on that.
At some time in point, we're going to have, how are we going to address a discharger that says it was out of my control? This rain event. Do we tell them that the facility is inadequate?
Well, there are standards for that. So there are flood protection standards, and if they can't demonstrate that it was over, say, a design flood or exceeded conditions that they should be able to handle, then that would be a problem as far as their argument.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that we should be prepared for that because I would assume that we're going to get a lot of that.
Right, but it's possible.
To support, your point, I think in the standard design requires a 100-year flood. So you can look back, for example, at the events that occurred this year and see if those qualify as a 100-year flood. If they don't, it doesn't meet the intent of the design of a facility in terms of providing operational capability, even at larger storm events.
Right.
But that sort of support a little bit your concern.
Because I think somebody could come up with the argument that although it was not a 100-year storm for that period of time, it could have been equal to a 100-year storm.
It's just
for argument's sake.
The way it would come to the board would be as an enforcement matter for having a discharge, and then the board would be presented with evidence either way, and it would be up to you to decide factually, whether they met some exception. And there's other exceptions besides the 100-year flood that could apply that you would just make that determination based on the presentations by the parties.
Okay, if that's it on that item, then as already mentioned, we, in response to Mr. Jeffries' question about the Pasadena facility, we've provided a summary of the situation with them, which is really boils down to a lot of salt problems, and they're not alone in the region in terms of having problems with conflicts between the water supply that comes in and then the what might be a typical incremental increase in salts in the use of that water, in the treatment of that water, and then what they end up with in terms of final effluent, and that being in conflict with effluent limitations, which frequently stem from our basin plan. So we've just been talking as recently as this morning about the whole salt issue throughout the region and our need for a salt control strategy. And we do. This is probably an opportune time because we have the salt and nutrient management plans that are all the agencies that affect salts in all the basins are supposed to prepare according to the state board's water recycling policy, and those are due probably in what 3.5 years or so from now, and a lot of those are underway in various stages. So this is something that actually should tie in terms of a broader look at salt problems throughout the region, because, like I say, the Pasadena facility is not alone in terms of these kinds of problems. Questions about that facility?
I believe so. Thank you.
And then attached, of course, we have our a list which comes out of the CWICS, the California Integrated Water Quality System report. And again, we'll attempt to answer any questions that you have from that list.
Any board questions or comments? Doesn't look like it.
Okay.
On the list.
8 pages.
Yeah.